What a beautiful day. What a great day. Hey, thanks for tuning in to EsoLogic Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland. EsoLogic Radio is kind of based about what hidden little insights nature brings to our lives and what we can bring into the lives of our animals, or maybe how they influence us, improve us, redefine us. Part of this show is based on my research. Part of this show is based on the experiences working with different types of animals. And sometimes the information is directly channeled. You see, I work as an animal equologist, which means I address the concepts of equilibrium. That's balance. That's not just physical balance. It's emotional balance, biochemical balance, structural balance. And from the standpoint of my research, we get into the relationship of the physical emotional balance and how it's shaped by the actions of the energetic world that surround us. So before we go any further, just take a breath. Breathe in. Relax. Let that sagging weight that hangs over your shoulders just drop down. Let it physically melt. Find out where your muscles are tight in your body. Relax them. Let your posture shift. Take another breath. Just say, and feel that vibration move all the way from your mind to your heart. You are about to have a journey. Today we're going to talk about the different ideas of how to train or interact or maybe learn from the animals in our lives. You know, my experience is mostly with horses, but what I'm going to talk about today will apply to your horse or your cat or your dog. You see, we are all come into this physical world and we take on a different shape. We live with different instincts and understanding different levels of the environment that surround us. And because of that, we have the separation between myself and a dog, yourself and your cat. But in the long run, when I've been doing this research, I keep running across these overlapping similarities. And I think sometimes we get tied up in our human intellect, our greatness, our need to define, empirically prove that something is different and we're trying to learn how to incorporate it in our lives. For me, working with animals is not just a physical interaction. It's a level of emotion. There's a level of psychology. And now, if I'm applying psychology to an animal, if I'm using my cognitive understanding of mental thought or patterns, it must mean that that animal is projecting a mental thought, a pattern, emotional wavelengths. And when I move into their space and I actually acknowledge that, I open a door into perceptions that most animal behavioralists don't have the experience or the data to actually expand on and bring into our daily lives. How to play with your dog, how to interact with your cat, or in my world, how to safely get on a horse and ride. You see, we're all different shapes. We interact with the environment on different levels. But in the long run, if you could just take the higher being, the thought that creates who you are, we could put it all in one room, the thought of your cat, the thought of your dog, the thought of my horses. What we would find out is that we're thinking basically the same things. Now, granted, your dog is not really going to be thinking about how to make your smartphone work better. And the horse really doesn't care about how to learn to drive the car. But when you take away all the technology, when you strip away all the man-made things, and you take the human thought and you put it into a natural environment, we're no different than the animals around us. And it's such an interesting thing, because an animal, just like you or I, has some very basic concerns and fears. One of those really basic things that happens is the fear of pain. We're all afraid of one thing. It's not death. Okay, it's not the process of death. It's the stimulation of physical pain. And I think there's some lessons to be learned, a lot of lessons to be learned from understanding the role of physical pain. I think the first thing that we really need to look at is, where does physical pain actually come from? And so, I'm just going to get you to take a breath and go, I'm just going to read this to you. It's something I wrote a couple of years ago. It goes like this. An intimate partnership ends as bodies separate. Legs extend. Your head whips back and forth. A squeezing pressure twists the rib cage as your shoulders collapse. And like an elegant tower diver, your body spins through the air. And finally, you land in a stunned lump on the ground. Your muscles instinctively compensate, waiting for the discovery of bruised and fractured bones. Gasping for air, you gingerly try to stand on shaky legs. Collapsing to the ground, your body produces shock waves that start assessing your body's condition. Loving touch stimulates your body as it naturally recoils to protect itself from pain. And in one moment, your life is influenced forever, changing your stride, your natural posture, your flexibility, and your personal life strategies. You were just born. Birth can introduce traumatic injuries, which actually translate into how your body develops and it shapes and forms. And because your body is twisted from birth, you start to adapt certain protective behavior patterns. And in working with children, you'll say, oh, let me brush your hair, and you'll hear these little cries. And saying, don't brush my hair, it hurts. Well, that's a pain response. So take a breath and hold these thoughts, because Isologic Radio will be back in a minute. Take a breath. Fill up your lungs. What a gift it is to breathe. When you fill up your lungs, can you feel both sides? One side may feel big and inflated, and the other side is not getting so much air in there. Well, that's a very common thing. It happens in human beings. And it happens in your horse, your dog, your cat, cow. Yes, you see, when we are born, we come from that mother's womb as not like shot out of a gun, not straight. It's kind of like the turning of a corkscrew. And as we turn our way out in that act of birth, we create a spin, an imprinting of a physical spiral. And it imprints into the muscles of who you are. And it creates this twist in our bodies. Fill up your lungs. Fill it up again. Fill it. Can you feel that maybe one side doesn't fill up as much as the other side? Well, the side that fills up and gets really plump, feels strong, well, that's the side of your rib cage that's being pushed forward. That's a twist in who you are. The side that doesn't fill up so much, that's where your ribs have pushed in against your sternum and are pulling that side of your body backwards. And that influences how your spine is shaped. And because we stand upright, it actually puts pressure, a twist, into the lower back and down into the pelvis. And then what happens? That influences how your hips tie into your pelvis. And then you, sometime in the future, will either sprain your ankle, have a knee injury, or end up with hip surgery. And this is all reflected in the physical form as birth trauma. So to protect ourselves, to make sure that our primary injury is not creating any pain, we may alter how we stand. May put one foot down further in front of the other when we walk. We may develop more leg muscles on one leg than the other. We may be left-handed or right-handed. All of these things are an imprint, a way that we have learned to compensate for this spiraling twist that causes everything that we experience in the physical body to occur. Now, in the animals' world, they aren't born quite the same way as a human being. That little piece I read to you about being born was actually the act of a foal being born. And those wobbly legs and the first efforts to stand up, that's the realization that, oh, I was born with some fractured ribs that pull away from my breastbone. But I got to stand up because to survive, I've got to get up and get going. And so animals go through this hidden process. And it is a hidden process. We know in our research that over 73% of horses that are born are actually born with some pretty traumatic injuries. Not only just bruises, but when a foal comes through the birth canal, it actually has to twist its shoulders. One will flatten down and roll into the body, and the other shoulder will pop out and shove forward. And that act of getting the shoulders through the birth canal is what creates the areas of the most pain in the body. Not only for the foal, but for you, for your dog, If you actually look at your dog, some dogs, especially the medium and longer haired dogs, you'll look down their back and you'll see a swirl of hair or an area of hair that will ruffle and stand upwards. They may not like it when you reach down to maybe pat them on the head or push them around in their hips or touch them along the rib cage. Well, those are areas where that dog is protecting his pain. And that's a pain that originates from birth. So when you see a dog and he has wavy hair down his spine, or you see a cat with a swirl in the middle of his back, it's very common to see it just in front of the shoulder blades, at the top of the shoulder blades, which we call the withers, or maybe from that point to just behind the shoulder blades. In that area right there is where the most important effects of birth trauma will occur. And so with this pain hidden from view, because these ribs that will be fractured in the young animal will actually be hidden by the shoulder blades. We won't see it. In horses, the vets can't really diagnose it because we can't x-ray there. We really don't palpate in that area. We don't touch or feel in that area. And it's not along the top of the spine. It's actually down along the underside of the breastbone. Actually, if you're sitting there and you got nothing better to do, take your fingers and find your breastbone. And at the top of your breastbone, run out to either side and put two fingers there. And just put some pressure on either side of your breastbone. And you start to feel there's soft places and hard places. Well, those hard places are your ribs. And when you push on the rib, the end of the rib where it goes into your sternum or your breastbone, some of them will feel pretty good. And then you'll get one that when you press on it, it will have a tingly sensation, or maybe a sharp pain will go through to your back. That's a rib that's not in the right position. And in a lot of people, those ribs have been out ever since you were born. And for some reason, we always focus on the spine. Oh, let's fix the spine. Yes, that's the problem. Well, if you fix the spine and the ribs aren't tying into the sternum correctly, then how is the spine ever going to stay straight? This is one of the things that I discovered in my own experiences working with horses. You see, I started off as a horse trainer, and then I learned massage therapy and went on to learn chiropractics, and I have a really extensive background in classical training of horses. And I always wanted to understand how I could improve how I trained horses so that I wouldn't have to use negative programming, so I wouldn't have to desensitize the animal from its fear or pain, but how I could actually understand those reactions and maybe find the source of those responses so that I could maybe resolve the problem rather than just ask the animal to ignore it. So when you go down your chest and you feel where you have discomfort, that's the same feeling that your dog or your cat has an experience of. And when that happens, that gives you a clue that we can find an answer to the effects of who you are. And when we aren't afraid of pain, we can change mentally. We can change physically. What an opportunity that would be. And that's what I'd like to offer you. So stay tuned. Take a breath. Don't lose the thought. I'll be back in a minute with Isologic Radio. Have you ever played ball with your dog? He's running around, he's having a great time. Oh, yeah, let's go get the ball. Bring the ball back. Yeah, sometimes the dog brings the ball back, and sometimes the dog chooses to run around and continues to run around. It says, I got the ball, it's mine, and I'm going over here, and I'm not coming back. I have the ball. In normal animal behavior training patterns, we would say, oh, well, that dog is just being disobedient. He's just having a personal moment. He's defying me. I wanted to play ball. I have to run after the dog to get the ball back. That's not really the role I wanted to play. Stop and think about this for a minute. If the dog is on four legs and his ribs are just like yours, they're not in the right spot. And when he fills his lungs up with air, he's got more air in one side of his body than the other. And when he gets to balance, he puts more weight on one leg than the other, just like you. And sometimes he gets a stiff neck and it hurts. And he wants to please you. He wants to go out there and he wants to play ball. He wants to play catch the frisbee. He wants to play tug of war on the rope. But at a certain point, his body says, hey, man, you know what? You've done this and you've played the game. But guess what? Right now, you need to quit because you can't get enough lung air moving here to keep the blood oxygenated so that your muscles don't get hot and start to go into a state of acidosis, aching and burning. And you're so twisted that, those ribs that are supposed to be holding your spine up so it's symmetrical and really perfectly balanced, well, they're not working for you. And the muscles are going into contractions and the bones aren't holding your body up. And so you're getting this stimulation of physical pain. And the dog has to go, well, now I have a choice. I have the choice of going back and giving that human the ball, which I think would be a great idea. But then he's going to throw it again. And he's going to want me to run out there and get it. And that ball may bounce on the ground, and I may have to spring up in the air and spin around and catch it. And when I do these athletic things, that human, my owner, they get excited and they applaud, and I really like it. But when I land, that twisting action has actually got me to the point where my body is yelling at me to stop. And so the dog will not bring the ball back. He'll run off and say, hey, guess what? I've had enough of this. Yeah. And sometimes that's the difference between an animal and a human being. And it's a very curious difference. Because a lot of animals will start to resist. They'll start to say, hey, I'm not doing this. You watch the people that jump horses, and they'll come up cantering up to the fence, da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. And everything looks great. And just before the horse is supposed to take that big leap in the air, there's a sudden application of brakes. And the rider goes spilling over top of the horse's shoulder and crashes onto the ground, usually looking up at the horse who's standing there going, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. But you see, we don't realize that the horse has a sense of self-preservation. This brings us into the emotional and the energetic side of animals and their awareness. You see, an animal is energetically aware that he has permission to be in a state of self-love. Think about that. An animal has the permission to be in a state of self-love. Doesn't mean to say that they're selfish. Although sometimes we look at their behavior as, oh, that's their personality. They're being stubborn. They're being willful. They're defying my expectations. Just take a moment and understand that if an animal is designed to avoid pain, and an animal in an energetic context has permission to be in a state of self-love, that governs his behavior. So when an animal says, I'm not going to take and fly through the air and catch the ball, or leap off the ground and carry you over this jump, or I don't want you to pick me up and cuddle me, it's not because of their personality. It's not because you haven't trained the animal to perform or obey. It's because that animal's awareness of self has not been deprogrammed or desensitized. It's actually responding to its natural self-preservation. Animals know that in the wild, it's really important for them to stay physically sound so that they can move, so they can go out and survive, so they can interact with you or other members of their species. Because you see, if they don't stay physically healthy, then they're injured. And that puts them in a weakened position. And in the animal's world, that's a signal of decline. That's a signal of his loss of authority in a pack of, say, wolves or in a herd of horses. When they have physical weakness and they can't hide that physical weakness, they cannot hide the response of pain, that reflex, that recoil, that snapping, that bucking, biting, okay, that recoil action. When they cannot control that any longer, they lose authority. They become dependent, or they lose their position. And they no longer have a vital role to play in influencing the perfection of life. And so it scares the animal. And he's going to look after himself. He's not going to naturally put himself in a position of continued self-abuse. But when you turn around and you look at human behavior, you go, well, wait a minute. Yeah, we grow up and we play sports and we do all these really amazing things. And we don't really understand when we go out there with our children or ourselves the role that birth trauma, that spin, we don't understand how it interferes with our balance. We don't understand how it interferes with our reflexes and our emotional response. Do you get angry when you get pushed to the ground? You pick yourself up and go, well, I felt that one. Don't know if I want to go do that again. All of these things are a direct result of the imprinting of birth trauma into your muscle memory. And in human beings, we don't seem to have that strength of self-love, that inner self-love, okay? Self-preservation. There's love. And a lot of us love, we love each other. It's an outward projection. But in a breath, can you pull in your love? Can you become solid? Can you pull that energy in to come into contact with who you really are? Think about it. I'll be back in a minute with Isa Logic Radio. Can you laugh at your life? Can you laugh at all the things that you take so seriously? If you can, then you're on the right path. Because, you see, if we get too wrapped up in the emotions that drive us, if we avoid the things that we don't want to deal with, then we kind of live in a desensitized state. We're not really dealing with the issues of our life. See, animals deal with their issues. We might not appreciate it when they deal with their issues because we don't really understand. You see, we project our love outwards. I love you. I'm going to meditate on love. I love everybody in the world. But do you actually love yourself? When you start to pull in and reenact the very, very foundations of who you are, you become really aware that you do love yourself. It's just that you are driven by society, environment, expectations that have reprogrammed your priorities. We do the same thing with our animals. We reprogram the dog's priority. We throw that ball, and that dog is to go out there and retrieve the doll or ball and bring it back to us. And we give him a reward. We may give him a physical treat. We get the cat to play with the string and the piece of plastic. And he revels in our joy. And then he's really happy when you give him some catnip so he can go out on his own little trip. The horse depends on who's training him. He's either trained to be afraid of pain, and to understand that if he makes a mistake, he's going to experience pain. Or there's another way of teaching a horse, and that is he gets rewarded when he does the positive response. But either way, that horse, that dog, or that cat has to ignore part of who they are to go through that training process. And what I've figured out in my journeys in this life, and I've had some pretty interesting ones that aren't mainstream, aren't necessarily 100% empirical or scientific, but what I've learned is when I, as an animal ecologist, as a person that uses the sensitivity of the body to map the spiraling effects of birth trauma, when I can go in there and gently squeeze the reenactment of the birth of an animal, his body responds. And that response actually starts to physically change, not the alignment of the spine, but it helps to put the ribs into a better position into the breastbone. And when that happens, the spine starts to self-correct. But it's not done with the intent to move the bones. It's actually really passive, a less than 10-pound pressure across the body mass of a horse will influence about 103 bones in 7 seconds. But there's no direct pressure applied to the bone. This gets into the energy of the field around the animal, the magnetic, electromagnetic field, and the energy that's held in the muscle memory of that birth trauma. And when I go in and I just squeeze just ever so softly certain points on the animal's body, the memory of being born is triggered. And that muscle springs. And when that releases that little scar tissue, it starts to do the most amazing thing. It starts to change how the muscle tension is in the animal's body. And when the muscles relax and start to fill out and expand, the bones suddenly have room to move. And as the air goes into the animal's body, the lungs spread out and the bones pop and twist. Or the animal may shift weight from one leg to the other. And before you know it, there's a physical change that happens. And horse owners stand in total shock and awe when I apply this very new technique of training the body to recognize itself and to use its own self-love, that self-awareness that's not projected out to say, hey, I love the world. Instead, it pulls in and says, hey, I'm a world within myself, and I love this place, this thing that I inhabit, this body that gives me physical form. It changes. You can stand in the presence of a horse or a dog while I'm working on it, and you can see the body, the muscles. The profile of the back actually changes. It's the unwinding of the fear of pain. And when I do this process with the animals, it changes how they interact. It changes the ability to actually not train them, but to introduce them to concepts and to teach them what I would like them to do. In my barn, there is no whip. There are no chain. There's no treats. There's just me and a horse. And most probably there will be no talking, because that strength of inner love, that self-awareness of who that horse is and who I am in my perfect or imperfect state, becomes this expanded awareness, a connection that a lot of people say, oh, is animal communication or ESP or telepathy? Well, every person that interacts with an animal has that capability. The only thing that stops us right now is the lack of understanding the role of birth trauma and how it creates pain and how that pain starts to change our physical action, our ability to not become emotionally, you know, involved, explosive, aggressive, protective. If we could understand that and how to apply that to not only our animals but to ourselves, I think that we would have a lot different responses. Yeah, I think that we would have a higher understanding, a clearer vision of really what it is, not only to be human, but to be an energetic awareness in a physical form. And that's kind of a challenge for some of you, I'm sure, because you just say, oh, well, I'm a walking, talking body. What do I have to worry about inner awareness and self-love? Well, it's the foundation of who you are. And your body is the expression of your life experience. And so when they say, take care of yourself, there's a reason behind that. Hold that thought for a minute and take a really deep breath. Relax, and I'll be back with Isologic Radio. if you are interested in learning more about this new way of addressing the body, the role and the influences of birth trauma, and how it's designed to map your emotional responses, your physical challenges, your journey through life. If you're interested in learning how you can train an animal using the lack of pain in his life, give me a shout. You can find me at esologicradio@gmail.com. I also have a website that's called the Balanced Horse Project, and that's a .net. In there, you can see some of the pictures of before and after effects of unwinding birth trauma in the body of animals. You can also find me on Facebook. Yes, I'm in there. We use that to try and introduce different ideas to the readers. You can also find a listing for workshops. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, that's a really good place to send me a message. And if you're ever interested in hosting an event or attending one, let me know, because the Balanced Horse Project is just starting to emerge into the public domain. This is pretty important stuff that we've been doing in a private research project here on an organic farm. The restructuring of who you are isn't just a physical thing. It pulls together how the energy of who you are fits into your physical form. And if you look at the chakras, there are all these energy points. I call them gateways. But all the gateways need to line up. They're linear. And so your body is designed in grid systems, and linear patterns. And within those linear patterns, there's twists and spirals. And you can have a twist that's offset with a loop that's a lot larger on one side of the body than the other. Just like if you fill up your lungs with air. You have one lung that takes in more air than the other. Well, that's kind of a loop. That's part of that physical spin. And what I'd like to do is to help expand what we already know. Take the information that's been accumulated in my lifetime, in my experience, and start to say, hey, if you're interested in balance, energy, and improving life, that there is a new school of thought out there. And sometimes, you know, yeah, you stumble through things and you wonder, how does that happen? And just like the animals, you know, you're given permission to live in a state of self-love. That means to value your physical form. And when you don't really understand that because of the physical driving of society's expectations, then you lose that opportunity, that moment, from when you're really young until the point where you pass on. You lose that awareness of who you are. There's an opportunity to expand through the idea of inner self-awareness. Because when we move into the body, when we move into our emotions, when we go through that and we go into the purity of the stillness of inner love, you amplify your connections to everything that's around you. And instead of being actually selfish, you're being in a state of self-preservation. You're preserving the physical form. You're avoiding your physical pain. But when you come into a state of self-love and you let go of that fear of pain, you can actually come to a place of understanding it. And a lot of us live with pain. Some of it's just unbearable, some of it's doable, and some of it's quite easy to ignore. But if you're ever interested in using your own abilities, just take your fingers and run it up your leg, say from your knee, up through your thigh, up to your hip, and you're going to have sensations. And when you find those sensations, just sit still. And take a breath and go, and go and place the palm of your hand over that point. Let it tingle. Your hand may start to tingle. And when it does, go a little bit with your index finger and start to make a circle. And then take that circle and make a spiral out and away from the place where you had pain. And think about pulling out the pain from your body. And as you take your finger and spiral away from your body, from that pain point, let the pain move out of your physical form and into your energy field. And as it moves into your aura, take a breath. And think about a pond of water. And let your spiraling finger reach into your imaginary image of still pond. And let it pull the pain that's trapped in that body point. And let it go into the stillness, the watery thoughts of the larger consciousness of who you are. You can play around with that. You can do no harm, so do not be afraid. This is the beginning of understanding how you can use your energy to influence the physical form. If the pain is mild, it should release. If the pain is moderate, it should neutralize. If the pain is extreme, you need to repeat this process. And as you're going through the process, maybe ask yourself, why is that pain there? And as you unwind the pain, recall how that pain actually happened. If it was an accident, if it's a position, a place of disease, ask why it's there. And give it permission to leave. Not, I want you to get out of my body. I can't deal with you anymore. No, because that's fear pushing at something. And when you push, it pushes back. And sometimes these pains, these states of disease are based in an energy field that's a lot stronger than you or I. So we can't push against it. But what we can do is we can unwind it. We can be in self-love. We can unwind our pain. We can acknowledge why it's there. And we can give it permission to please move to another place of energy, to another source, to the place it needs to be. And it might not be in our body. It might be trapped with us. So when you do this, you're influencing your physical form. You can work with your animal exactly the same way and understand that they live with the awareness, their self-presence of love. And that when an animal says no, don't get mad at it. Maybe take a step back. Take a breath. Look at the twist of your animal's form and understand that he's saying, hey, man, I like you. I love you. But I love myself a little bit more. Take a breath, laugh at life, and come back and visit me here at Isologic Radio. I have to go, so please enjoy and have a great and wonderful day.